And back here on ESPN Central Texas, live from El Paso Mexican Grill, 4225 Franklin Avenue. We're registering you for Baylor Texas Tech tickets for the game coming up on Saturday. Also giving away some of these Screams Halloween theme park tickets. We are all out of Silo of Screams out in Temple, but we still have a good number of Screams tickets for out in Waxahachie, which we're just told is apparently
really good and
pretty,
really scary.
Pretty legit. So if you're interested in hopping out there and going and getting your scare on, then swing on through here, 4225 Franklin Avenue. But those Baylor Texas Tech tickets are a hot ticket. First time Texas Tech will have ever played at McLean Stadium. They're coming off a big top 25 win over OSU, and Baylor is ranked for the first time in 3 years and unbeaten and looking to get bowl eligible. And joining us now on the phone lines, covering Texas Tech for the Lubbock Avalanche Journal, is our good buddy Carlos Silva. And Carlos, we do appreciate your time as always. I know there was some of that early, when you hire a new head coach, that early grumblings when things go sideways initially. And so, you know, with like the Arizona game in particular, some Tech fans, as you'll always see, barking a little bit, like, oh, is Matt Wells going to be the guy? And then last week, the big win over Oklahoma State, I think, really just got everybody rejuvenated and excited about what he's capable of doing. Just how much do you think that win last week sort of moved Texas Tech forward here early on in the Matt Wells era?
Well, it's certainly a signature win, and appreciate you guys having me for Matt Wells. But I think you guys kind of know this. I mean, week by week, especially in this era, it seems like the fan base is either, if you win, everything's going great. If you lose, the world is coming to an end. And unfortunately, the worst loss came against Oklahoma, where Matt Wells and some of his players had mentioned that they just felt like they didn't put the effort later in that game. And that's why he was upset about that situation. Of course, here's the thing is, I think there's going to be a lot of teams that head up to Norman and kind of get their tails kicked in too. So I think that's something to kind of keep in mind when you kind of look at that loss for Texas Tech. But certainly the bounce back from Oklahoma State, where you certainly took advantage of a team that wasn't able to make some big plays. That's something that Texas Tech allowed a lot of when they were in Norman. But certainly if you're kind of looking at what the fan base was kind of thinking going into that contest, where you have a top 25 team that was playing really well up until that point, and you really kind of kicked them early on, especially with the defensive line, and not only that, but you got the victory. A little bit of the is Matt Wells the right hire? What is his buyout? I mean, all the questions were being asked at that point are certainly going to be quelled a little bit.
Are the Texas Tech fans, are they kind of looking over their shoulder or looking down the road and looking at what Matt Rhule is doing at Baylor and saying, okay, this is what we expect to see here at Tech as far as the growth and how the trajectory that Matt Rhule's been on here at Baylor?
Well, I certainly think it's something that can be asked, and I know someone asked Matt Wells about that, and obviously he shares a lot of respect for Matt Rhule, who he knows a little bit of. And I mean, obviously when you kind of hire a new guy to a six-year deal, you're certainly not looking for that quick fix. So that's the one thing that Matt Wells has kind of talked about, is the fact that you are trying to build for the future, but you're trying to win now for the seniors. So they're doing everything that they can to obviously win now, which they certainly did against Oklahoma State. But he said the one thing that they're not going to do is kind of jeopardize the future for something now. So he's in here for the long haul. The six-year deal that Kirby Hoke had signed him to, or Texas Tech signed him to, shows that as well. And we'll see if they can kind of continue that upward trend, when they do take on Baylor this week.
Carlos Silva, Lubbock Avalanche Journal, joining us here on ESPN Central Texas. And Carlos, one of the big standouts from last week was not only what the defense was able to do in creating turnovers, but Jet Duffy's the guy now. After the failed Jackson Tyner experiment that I know left a lot of people scratching their heads over why he got the nod over Duffy initially, that's over. Jet gets the start. Jet knows he's the guy. And he showed that he's got a great arm and he can hit some beautiful deep balls. And he showed that he can use his feet, which we already knew a lot about him there as well. But with him just now being crowned QB1 and then going out and doing what he did last week, what kind of do you expect from him on a weekly basis? Is that more of what you think we're going to see from him week in and week out? And just how much did that help this team confidence-wise to know who the guy is and who to follow moving forward?
Well, I don't know if it helped the team any much, because I think most of the players that you talk to, they'll say whoever's starting a quarterback, all we have to do is just play well around him, which is what I think Texas Tech did last week, especially with Keshawn Carter making a great catch in the end zone, T.J. Vasher making a great catch in the end zone, the offensive line actually giving Jet Duffy time to kind of look over the field and try and find those guys that are open or if he decides to use his legs. But I don't know if what you saw last week is going to be par for the course, because Jet Duffy does have a small sample size, but you kind of know that he will have his good days and he will have his bad days. So there's going to be a time where he does make a mistake, and the question is, how will he bounce back, or how will he kind of take that when that does happen? And I think that's the one thing that I'm kind of interested to see is, yes, he did have a good game last week, but didn't really have much of a pass rush from Oklahoma State. You're going to see a much different pass rush when James Lynch is on the other side of the field.
Yeah, and sticking with that pass rush and James Lynch, what are your expectations? How quickly do you expect Duffy to be able to get the ball out of his hand as quickly as possible so he can avoid that pass rush? And do you see any kind of holes in that Baylor defense where you think that, okay, this is how Tech can maybe take advantage of them?
The best way I can think of is if you get Jet Duffy running with the football. The problem is Jet Duffy is probably your one and only quarterback that you've got right now that you know has some talent. As you kind of alluded to, with Jackson Tyner didn't play very well. The emergency quarterback, Xavier Martin, was a former quarterback turned wide receiver, now back to quarterback, even though he still is working with the wide receivers at this point. So there's a little bit of a balance. You obviously do want to try and run the football a little bit if you have to with Jet Duffy to kind of get some of those defenders kind of cheating up a little bit for the Bears. That's something you need to do, but I think that the one, if you want to call it a weakness, I think the one thing you have to do is take advantage of the Bears' aggressiveness because of that 3-5-3 defense that they run. They're a little bit faster with that speed. You're going to have a lot more defenders that are probably obviously in passing lanes compared to Oklahoma State. The one thing that I will say is if they can get the running game going, maybe their screen game going to the left and to the right, I think that's going to be the best way that you can kind of neutralize James Lynch, even though I really feel he's going to probably be a very disruptive force on the Texas Tech offensive line this weekend.
Carlos, from a Baylor offense versus Tech defense perspective, I know there's some injuries of note from what I've gathered looking at Twitter over the last couple of days for the Red Raiders on defense. And they, like Baylor with Chris Miller, have a pretty key first-half suspension there, I believe, with Rico Jeffers. All that aside and all that, I guess, included in, what's been the key for Texas Tech's success, for example, last week versus Oklahoma State? And with all things considered, how do you see them matching up with Charlie Brewer and his big receivers in that Baylor offense?
It's going to be interesting because they had season highs in most everything. They had 7 sacks. To answer your question, the disruption really came from the defensive line. It made Spencer Sanders kind of have to run around a little bit, maybe not make a throw that he wanted to do. And that's what allowed, obviously, Douglas Coleman and some of the other guys in the back end of the defense to make plays, make some interceptions, force some fumbles. I think that's what Texas Tech has to do if they want to try and disrupt this Baylor Bears offense, is try and win the battle in the trenches. Get Charlie Brewer, who is a very underrated quarterback, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions, top 5 in the Big 12. And not only that, but then a guy like Denzel Mims, top 5 wide receiver in the conference as well. You have to try and either kind of make both of those guys uncomfortable, that being either one aggressive, being the blitzing type of defense that you have been so far. But the thing is you're going to probably give up some big plays because at some point Charlie Brewer is going to find Denzel Mims either open, or Denzel Mims will make a play because that guy has been known to make some great plays on 50-50 balls. And I think that's going to be really the big thing for Texas Tech is, can you kind of force the issue the offense? Can you get some disruption on the defensive line? Can you maybe make the quarterback, Charlie Brewer, make some throws that he doesn't want to do? And if you can, that's going to help you a little bit. But the thing is they are beat up a little bit on defense, but if your defensive line can get some disruption, that's going to help you a little bit, especially on the back end.
Texas Tech fans travel really well, and there's a lot of Texas Tech fans here in Waco anyway. But what's the excitement level as far as not being at Jerry's World this year instead of going to McLean Stadium, getting the home-and-home thing going again with Baylor this weekend?
I think it's going to be interesting because obviously you guys have probably been there a couple times at Jerry World, and it's not as loud as you would like if you got 20,000 fans in a 100,000-seat stadium. But if you got 30,000 fans in a 45,000-seat stadium, or if you got 45,000 fans in a 45 1,000-seat stadium. You're going to see more of a home field advantage for Baylor. You're going to see a home field advantage for Texas Tech when the series does go that way. So it's going to be interesting to see how Texas Tech does in that setting, because the last two times they went on the road didn't go too well for them. So we'll see if they can kind of turn that into a positive. And the biggest thing that some of the players had mentioned that we spoke to this week was they have to create their own energy. And they certainly did that with their defense, getting a forced fumble, obviously getting some interceptions early against Oklahoma State. But again, that was at home. Can you do the same thing when you go on the road to Waco in a stadium that you're not used to, so to speak? So it'll be interesting to see.
Carlos, do you feel comfortable enough making a type of prediction, not an exact score or anything, but do you think they can create that energy and pull off another big upset, or is it going to be a loss in Waco, you think, on Saturday?
Man, I figured you guys were going to ask me this. I mean, here's the thing. I picked Texas Tech to beat Oklahoma State, but I knew Oklahoma State needed to make big plays to beat Texas Tech. They did get a couple over the top, where obviously they did get some, but they weren't able to make enough later on, and an onside kick kind of made a cosmetic touchdown to make it look a little bit better from a final result standpoint. But if Texas Tech continues to play the way that they did, which I don't know if they're going to continue to play at a high level like that, just because of it's just a season high for everything. How do you get that much better, even though Matt Wells feels like they can? I think if they play at least close to what they did, they're going to have a good chance to get an upset. But Baylor's just playing so well right now. And, well, man, it's just so tough. I think Texas Tech has a chance in this one, but I would not be shocked if Baylor kind of stays out about 1-2 touchdowns if they do get a victory.
Yeah, I mean, they got home field advantage. That defense is playing well, and you know, the offense has been kind of up and down, but they've been steady enough with those big plays that you mentioned. So it should be fun. It should be fun to see Texas Tech, red and black, in McLean Stadium for the first time. And also both teams feeling really good coming out of last weekend. So, hey, Carlos, we appreciate you as always for your time. Are you going to be in Waco?
I will not. You get Don and Brad Tolleson, so you guys get to hang out with those two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe next time we'll run into each other, man. But, hey, we do appreciate your preview, and we look forward to talking to you again, man, down the line as the season continues on.
Hey, no, appreciate you guys as always.